Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody. It's a little dreary out there, but have the morning you want to have.
Feels like a fall Thursday. We're getting there. The leaves are changing. The weather's starting to get a little bit chillier. It feels like that.
Yeah. I will say the one thing that fall always does that is annoying is that it rains more.
Mm-hmm.
And I could have used some of that when I was melting in the summer. Just a little bit.
I was going to say, I'm like,
how many times did we get the suburban dad of, oh, we need that rain?
I mean, I did it a lot.
You did it a lot, actually, over the course of the summer.
I was going to say, you're not like a big thunderstorm guy?
It's just...
But, I mean, you made it sound like, no, like, I just needed it during the summer,
now. Yes. I want to enjoy the cooler temperatures, and nobody likes going outside in rain.
No, cold rain's one of the worst things
yeah. ever.
No, that's right. That's right.
Total first world problems I'm talking about right now, by the way.
Morning, everybody. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you will find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We've got the third Sabres preseason game tonight. They are at Detroit, I believe.
They are at Detroit. It's going to be a lot of a bottom six of the NHL, youngster heavy, and the defensive pairing of Owen Power and Michael Kesselring.
Oh, very nice. This is... Now the midway point of the preseason, they only actually have six of those games. They'll have one more on Saturday this week and then two next week, and then we'll get ready for the regular season. Also tonight we have Thursday Night Football, Seattle-Arizona. That game, due to the Sabres game being tonight, will be over on the Bet 1520 and, of course, television purposes, Amazon Prime. Want to start talking a little bit more as we lead into the week. Yesterday we got our first injury report. There were four players on that for the Buffalo Bills. Three players did not practice, although one of them kind of kiboshed any worries like immediately, even before the injury report actually came out, that being right tackle Spencer Brown. He missed practice yesterday with a calf injury. He was on One Bills Live like right after practice and was, I'm fine, guys. I'll be fine. So he immediately kiboshed kind of any words. And to be fair, him showing up and doing the interview,
that's also
kind of also puts a little bit of a, oh, okay, we're fine.
Players that are injured typically are not made media available.
No.
So that might even just be like, hey, you know, going on there just to make sure that we can clear it up, that he's okay. That said, the Bills have really good offensive line depth if you want to take the week to be cautious.
If they do want to be cautious. Again, it didn't seem like Brown was all that worried about his injury. He really kind of, I mean, even, you know, Stephen Kress kind of just moved right along with it. So there was no real worries about that. And again, I mean, him just being there in general kind of points to, I think the Bills are just being careful for a Wednesday practice. I would kind of expect him to be limited today. AJ Epenesa was limited with a pec injury. And then the other two players who were out, somewhat not surprising. I think we're all kind of just waiting to see if there's any changes to Matt Milano and Ed Oliver. Both did not practice. Oliver an ankle, and then Milano a pec injury. And before I do forget, the Barnes from Injured Report, it is brought to you by the Barnes from Injured. For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. It's not a bad injury report by any means. We've talked about it a lot with the Bills' schedule. They can maybe play a little bit more with this. They may also want to, just to get a better idea of what this team will look like when guys like Ogunjobi and Hoyt and eventually Max Hairston are back, who is going to get the inactive? How's that going to work? If everyone, yes, of course, is healthy. That's something I know Sal's been talking about this week, especially with the likes of TJ Sanders,
yep,
at defensive tackle, who, while not been horrendous, has not been good. He's been a rookie.
He's been
is struggling.
He's probably been of the players that started up in week one, he's been the lesser of the four, is I think the way to put it. It's, mm-hmm, not bad, but you've definitely been the lesser of the four. Then Ed Oliver gets hurt. You've got Zion Logue playing some snaps now as well. I would imagine it's going to stay like that. If Oliver's healthy and Ogunjobi comes back, well, that kind of paints the picture of the lesser of the four.
Mm-hmm.
Is the one that probably gets scratched when there's five of you. And that's not necessarily what I'd call an indictment on Sanders. There's plenty of time for him to make it a more difficult conversation. It's just how it currently is lying.
It doesn't help either that it's not like their defense has exploded onto the scene and you're going there, sucks for TJ Sanders, but... they're going to go to the best players. They're playing so well.
Somebody's got to sit, kind of thing.
You know, to be fair, they're going to move off of TJ Sanders, maybe, with Ogunjobi and Hoyt coming back and some of these other guys, because the run defense hasn't been particularly good. The pass defense isn't finishing. You know, that is still a concern with their defense.
Right.
And that's the struggle I think many of us are having. It's been great seeing Deion Walker and Jackson Hawes be great right away and play pivotal snaps for the Bills. Hawes, I think, still is like PFF's highest rated tight end, or one of them. Deion Walker is getting shout outs on national shows. But your first round rookie, no fault of his own, picked up an injury. And yesterday, Sean McDermott kind of did want to put a little bit of water on the fire just to kind of calm everyone down, settle expectations. And that makes sense. A knee injury for a corner, you want to settle expectations. And then we're having honest conversations about when people are coming back, are they going to make their second round pick this year inactive? I understand Sal's point. It's a good problem to have because you have depth, you have rotation.
Right.
I don't disagree with that. I will say, though, I can feel better about that conversation if they're lighting the world on fire on defense and you go, well, the best guys are going to play. And you may sit out, but it's not really an indictment necessarily on you. Right now, where they are defensively, it may be an indictment on these guys. And we've talked about this, how they have not gotten great production out of their early rookies in a few years. Kincaid has a great first year, albeit more kind of to the rose-colored glasses of what Bills tight ends have been throughout their career. But a good year. Second year, though, not so much. He's finally really starting, it feels like, to come around on his third year. This has been a very, very strong start for him.
Mm-hmm.
But Kyer Elam might be one of the worst corners in football, just flat out.
Yep.
His career did not revive in Dallas. If anything, it's a referendum on everything.
As a matter of fact, through two games, I do remember him being the player that has allowed the most passing yards or has been held responsible.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's not looking good there. You do want to see a little bit more consistency on the defensive side of the football in terms of these draft picks right now, because it's really seeming like it's on that side where the consistency's not been there. Like, yeah, you've got a Christian Benford, for example, but thank goodness you did.
I mean, right. Like, that's a big part of this is I love the hits in the later rounds. And so far, Deion Walker and Jackson Hawes have been that. But a lot of those are much more, you know, shots in the dark. You really don't know how those guys are going to – you certainly don't know first and second round. But later rounds, you have no idea. You're picking basically one trait and hoping you can work everything else out. It's worked so far with them with Deion Walker and Jackson Hawes. It's worked with Christian Benford and Matt Milano in years past. And
Taron
like
Johnson.
That.
Like you can bring up names of late round picks a lot quicker than you can of round one and round two picks. Because you think about it on the other side of these things. And like, ready? The player that's kind of been on a milk carton right now in terms of the pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Rousseau.
Yep. I thought he was going to be somebody that really took advantage of Bosa and the new additions to the defensive tackle group and stuff like that. And if anything, he's been a relative ghost. I did see some numbers that point to, you know, he's maybe not as quiet. The eye test is not saying that.
The eye test is not saying it. And while the pressures against Miami in particular were better, he still also has the same problem as last year. Finish. He has half a sack through three games.
I mean, I think, isn't the Bills' leading sack guy having two? I think it's Joey Bosa with two.
Yeah.
Maybe. No, I think that's maybe. So they haven't really gotten to the quarterback a ton. They're not Cleveland, who is just on a rampage to start the year on defense only. But that's something I've thought about because I know Sal's taken a little bit of heat from that, and it's been a conversation of just, you know, where they're at with the rookies. And for me, like, this has been my one big gripe with Brandon Bean. I think he's fine with the cap, if not really good with the cap. He's able to field a good roster, but oftentimes not a great roster, a good roster to go along with Josh Allen. And at times that is more than enough. They made the AFC Championship last year. He's made some big moves in the past. Some have bitten him in the butt. Others haven't. Stephon Diggs and Von Miller. But the drafting acumen, it has left a lot to be desired. And I get it. You're drafting later in the first round. It's harder to find hits. But I also get worried about the kind of players they're taking. Landon Jackson being one of them.
Yep.
His athletic scores look great. However, he looks super stiff and really never popped once in college.
Not a very bendy pass rusher.
No.
And by the way, not even two. The leading sack getters.
Is one.
With five of them is one.
Yeah.
They only have six sacks in three games. You want that number to be better, especially when the teams that you've played have been the Jets and the Dolphins. You got more sacks against Lamar Jackson than you did Tua.
Well, that might be a Jackson problem, actually, now thinking about it with how Monday night went.
Yeah, Baltimore's offensive line has kind of not been too good.
Not even just that. I mean, Jackson holding onto the ball too much. I look especially at the goal line situation, that fourth and goal, where the one thing you can't do on that is take a sack, and he takes like a 20-yard sack.
Yeah.
It's the one thing
you
can't
do. I still look at a team that gave up eight sacks in two games in Miami, and you got none.
And you got nothing on that. It's something I'm gonna look for now, especially with this softer schedule, with they have New Orleans this week, and then New England, then Atlanta. Okay, are we going to start to see TJ Sanders maybe pop? Are we going to see Deion Walker really just kind of continue this run here? Hawes the same thing. Because we're going to probably have to be waiting on Max Harrison, I think, a little bit longer.
Right.
Sal, you mentioned it yesterday with Bulldog, and I'm sure he's mentioned it throughout this week as well. Once they, quote-unquote, activate him from IR when he starts practicing with the team, or not activate him from IR, but once he starts practicing with the team, they have 21 days, or he has to go on IR for the year.
Right.
That's probably not going to happen. But the tone from McDermott did maybe point
to, it didn't sound great.
Hey, you know, we're going to have to be patient and what have you. And it's just they're not getting enough results from these young guys. I love what Hawes has shown the Bills. But he's mainly been just an excellent blocker. It's been great for them. It's allowed their running game to really flourish. But he's been, for the most part, just an excellent blocker. Deion Walker's had some flash plays. And really, what more do you expect from both fourth and fifth rounders? You really shouldn't expect much.
Correct.
It should be from your third round pick. You hope that he's active or at least showed something in the preseason, in camp, that would maybe point to, hey, there's something there. I haven't seen that at all. TJ Sanders, a little bit slower going, but now as the season started, haven't really seen much at all. And it's on the unit where we have the most questions. The offense, I really don't have many questions. You know, I put a pin in it, but I, you know, kind of thought about discussing, has James Cook already earned his contract?
And I would honestly,
three games.
As a quick answer to that, yeah, probably.
Yeah. The Bills, or for the offense, excuse me, for the wide receivers, I see separation stats from yesterday that Keon Coleman is up there averaging like 3.2, 3.4 yards per separation, which is way up from last year for him. Kincaid, we just already mentioned it, is looking much better this year. Really, the fact that the Bills want him to get stronger, that looks to be on display every game. His blocking's been incredible.
It's also target efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Kincaid was targeted a good amount last year. Allen was not connecting with his tight end.
No,
this year
there was no connection there.
This year, he's connecting with him. Good. Good. Because he has the athletic profile to be one of those guys. It was just the chemistry between quarterback and tight end was just not there. This year, early on, it looks like it's there. Good. You're going to need him. Because you drafted the player on the design of, oh, he's basically like a wide receiver. Well, then show me.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, through three games, you're showing me. He's second on this team by 7 yards to Coleman.
And really, for Coleman, and this is not a negative on him, but just more how they're using him, a lot of that is now we can kind of see a little bit inflated from the first game. Really, the fourth
quarter. It is inflated from the first game.
Really, the fourth quarter.
I also, if there was one chintzy OPI call that was not called, Coleman looks a little bit more impressive in
right.
the Jets game. But it is looking like, and this is something that Joe DiBiase brought up in the last hour that I was really getting fascinated with, which is how often the Bills are running personnel differently.
Mm-hmm.
For example, running 13 personnel or 22 personnel. And Joe bringing these things up was really fascinating to me because of the fact that the Bills are utilizing their tight ends. They are utilizing different packages more commonly than other teams are. So much so that they're 29th in the percentages of using 12 personnel, which is something that was a Kenneth Dorsey staple. I do think that because he's probably getting on the field more commonly than other tight ends and other teams, you're able to use the athletic profile of Kincaid a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
It also shows the biggest problem of all. I'm not going to be like Mel Kiper here from last year where he said, make too high safety illegal. Sorry, coaches don't want to get beat deep, Mel. That's the end of the story. They're going to keep calling it. But the Bills do seem ahead of the curve on how to counter it. With multiple tight ends, with good athletic profiles, offensive linemen that can destroy you and pave the way for one of the better running backs in the National Football League, and a quarterback that can make every throw. That's the formula, and that third part's tough to get, but that's a good formula on how to counter the too high safety. You take what they give you. All of a sudden, Allen, who was known for having a penchant for turnovers up until a couple of years ago, all of a sudden is one of the cleaner quarterbacks to play football right now.
Mm-hmm. He had a little bit of a bite, too, to him in his press conference yesterday with the media.
Yeah.
He had a little bit of a bite where, because he was being asked, about throwing the ball deep and pushing the ball down the field. And he was kind of like, yeah, I know, but, I'm going to take what's open.
Welcome.
And that's the thing. The running game is allowing for many of these shorter routes to be open. They're just going to it. We're seeing some of the separation stats. They're not the best. I think there were points in the Miami game as well that it wasn't necessarily the play calling. I think there was guys just not getting open all that much. It was a bit of a mix for Miami. But it has allowed him to be the best version of himself.
It is also, simply, we have to call it what it is. Welcome to the too high era.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is. We talked with Luke Johnson yesterday. New Orleans.
Yeah.
And he mentions, even Spencer Rattler is seeing too high safety. Teams do not want to get beat deep. This is the era of defense that we're getting called. And yes, cover two is typically your most commonly called defense in all of football. You play it when you're in middle school and you keep playing it all the way throughout. However, in tougher leagues with more complex coverages, teams are just putting up an outright refusal in the NFL to get beat deep. Bad teams get beat deep. Looking at you, Dallas. The difference between Dallas and Kansas City, for example. The New York Giants alone. Russell Wilson throws for a career-high 450 yards against Dallas. And that is because they are not running as much of a two-high shell. Or they're getting beat with it. But typically, who are the players that are trailing Neighbors or Wandell Robinson in that game? It's Trayvon Diggs or Kyrie Elam. And now, you go to Kansas City. Russell Wilson just keeps throwing moon balls, and it's not working. He keeps throwing them. Why? Kansas City's playing too high. They have the personnel that runs it effectively. Teams run too high. With the players so far back now that it is a little obnoxious. You're seeing plays now on the broadcast view where the safeties aren't even on the screen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What you're seeing is 9 on 11. This is the too high era. Defenses are being called a certain way because they do not want to get beat deep. And it has to come from a screw up that you see the deep passing game nowadays. It's like when the NHL head coaches took all the fun out of 3-on-3 overtime. I liken it to that, where it's all about possession is 9/10 of the law now. And the first time we saw 3-on-3 overtime in the World Cup of Hockey, it was one of the most exciting sequences we'd ever seen. You look at Sweden, Team North America, for example, as, hey, this is what this is supposed to be. And what it is now is completely different. Football is the same thing. You've got these big-armed quarterbacks. You're expecting them to be able to beat players over the top, beat teams over the top, have these gaudy passing yard numbers right now. And that's not as consistent across the league anymore. Why? teams are deciding on an outright refusal to get beat deep that way, that you counter with short, quick, death by a thousand cuts efficiency, or you counter with a bigger running game. Last year, the running back totals started looking like they were not from this era.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of went back to when it was justifiable to take a running back top five and to build your team around defense and a running game, to a certain extent.
To a certain extent, but it's becoming true.
But it was still, you had guys like Saquon and Derrick Henry that for a little while there, it looked like both were going to run for 2,000 yards. You still had Jonathan Taylor and Bijan Robinson go over 1,200, 1,300 yards. And now this year, we're back to it of Jonathan Taylor's leading the league in rushing. He's on pace, I think, for early days, but like 1,700 yards. James Cook is on pace for 1,600 yards rushing. Like you are going back to that.
1,600 for a back. And ready? Here comes the other caveat. This year, you're starting with shorter field position or better field position.
Mm-hmm.
You have shorter fields that you have to drive on, which means eventually the deep ball is not getting called. You get one first down and suddenly that is going to become far less common, that you're going to be able to call up a moonshot. The probability is not there. The boundary is an extra defender. This, that, and the other. It looks like strategy, defensive strategy, has caught up. The best teams are the ones that can do both.
And the Bills look like to be, for 2 years now, running well ahead of the curve.
Matter of fact, the Bills may not even be that good at deep passing. Allen, outside of 1 year, 2020, does not have the best percentages on what's already a low percentage play. Of course, everyone can point to, oh yeah, what about the Diggs dropping, the Sherfield dropping, the AFC divisional game at home against Kansas City? Yeah, so what? I have a belly button. If we want to talk about things that really don't matter the conversation, it is overall that Allen does not have the best numbers on that. Yes, the receivers have dropped some footballs in the past. It's also one game. But you did notice there was a pattern that Allen was not connecting with those deep balls if the player was not named Gabe Davis.
Yeah. That was sort of the one thing Davis was really, really good at, is him and Allen's deep ball connection was usually very, very good.
And the 2020 season was a monster in and of itself. And 2021 to follow that as well, where the deep passes were not as effective, but the intermediate game was the strongest it had ever been. And teams defensively and strategically, they've caught up. And that's okay. Especially because you're one of the teams that has handed a running back a second contract.
Mm-hmm. 803-0550, the number to call. Just talking some of the things we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. The Bills have a little bit of a softer schedule. The point spread's probably going to show that. Bills taking on the New Orleans Saints this Sunday, 1 p.m. at Highmark Stadium. They're around a 16.5-point favorite. Also, with that being said, do want to kind of jump back into that topic as well that we talked with on Tuesday, being, who do you actually want to win? Kansas City, Baltimore this Sunday. Xavier Worthy, a full participant at practice yesterday, could be a very, very instrumental piece for the Chiefs if they want to get their season underway. And maybe that's a bad thing? Maybe we do want to root for the Ravens? I'm not sure. I would love to hear your thoughts. Derek would love to hear your thoughts. 803-0550, again, the number to call. Jeff, Mike, if you hang on the line, we'll get to you after this quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR. Hour number one continues to roll along here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sabres are in action. Their third preseason game of six. They're 2-0. Consta Hellenius, by the way, getting a third straight game. He's looked very nice.
I'm starting to think it's something to pay attention to, and I will put more attention on that when I have to host in place of Brian Koziel tonight.
Yeah, so you're going to be hanging out here. So, you're going to leave at noon, come back at like 6:30-ish, 6-ish. And get right back on.
No, I'm coming back earlier than that. I've got homework to do.
You got homework to do.
It is
effectively the Sabres Americans. That's tonight going.
Yeah, it looks like the roster's a lot of the bottom six or middle six of the Sabres. Power, Kesselring, and Rochester.
Rochester, yeah.
And that's okay. It's preseason. Those rosters are going to happen. Do I get the good graces of seeing Darlene, Tage, and while working the shift? No.
No.
And that's just the straw I draw.
It is preseason. It is somewhat expected.
I'm absolutely going to heckle Brian about that, but you know what?
He's at the Ryder Cup, man. He's enjoying himself.
I did also agree to this, so yeah. It is my fault.
He's at the Ryder Cup. I'm very excited for that to start up. That should be a lot of fun down at Bethpage back, which is in Lower New York, so that should be fun.
Speaking of fun, I do love the opportunity to like have hopefully an easy day with the Bills and Saints, and then we get to watch which one of those teams goes to 1-3. That's also fun between the Ravens and the Chiefs.
I have hated this. We'll get to your calls here in just a moment. I have like had this weird feeling for the early part of the season that I'm looking forward more to hate watching certain games than I am watching a Bills game. And like, I guess that's somewhat,
welcome to the current climate.
Yeah, I guess it's somewhat of the you're a good team. You're sort of expected to win. Like you are going to be schedule watching, and
your hated
standing.
Rivals are outside the division.
Yeah, and so like that, like it was the same with Eagles Chiefs. Like I was really pumped for that game, and was just all right. Let's hurry this up. I want to go watch Eagles Chiefs. It's going to be the same thing where I just hope this is 35-7. Move on. No one really has any big takes, and we all get to 425. Ravens, Chiefs, or if you're a psycho, Rams, Colts, because the Colts are also undefeated, so that could be interesting. 803-0550, the number two call. We go to the phones. Mike is up first. Mike, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, guys. I originally called in about I wanted the Baltimore Ravens to probably lose the game, but then I started thinking as you guys started talking, and it's been a fluky year ever since training camp started. With all these injuries that just pop up out of nowhere, is it a product of our strength and conditioning? Are we doing something different? Is it just bad luck? What is going on? Because I don't know that I've ever seen these many injuries to start the season. And God, you know, thank God they're not season-ending injuries. Mm-hmm. We can move some pieces around, but why do we continue to have these type of injuries? An ankle, a calf. It just seems odd to me.
Yeah, Mike, I honestly think a lot of it comes down to it's purely luck.
It is entirely luck-based.
For years, the Bills were very good at just not having any injuries. And then, I mean, last year they had what seemed to be like a widespread pandemic of wrist injuries. A lot of it is based off of luck. A lot of it is also internally taking care of yourself. Sounds ridiculous, but like stretching and doing, you know, pre-workouts before your workout, it's little stuff like that.
And professionals typically know to do this.
Yeah. So a lot of it ends up being just luck. You see it all the time. A guy has never picked up an injury in college. 4 years. Started all four. Gets to the NFL's first 3 years, he has injuries.
Better yet, I've got a story of two Georgia running backs that have suffered ACL tears and became the best at their position for the time being. Like,
it happens all the
time. Nick Chubb tore both of his knees up, and he was one of the better backs until he had to finally go through another knee injury.
Mm-hmm.
Todd Gurley becomes a first-round pick. He had a devastating knee injury. When the Bills drafted Willis McGahee all those years ago, has anyone worried about his knee through the entirety of his career, be it in Buffalo or elsewhere?
No, yeah. He had an awful, awful, horrific knee injury in Miami.
And that's my point, is when you play a contact sport, injuries are just bound to happen. It's a question of when. Look at the Detroit Lions last year.
I
don't think we have a right to complain. Look at the San Francisco 49ers, seemingly every year. You want to talk about injuries? We've got no problems compared to them.
Yeah, I think more what I look at with like the new strength and conditioning department for the Bills, I actually am more positive on it. Mainly just through one guy, Kincaid. They wanted him to get stronger. They wanted him to be more physical. He's been that.
But again, it's a contact sport. People are going to get hurt. And that is something that should be more than understandable. People are just going to get hurt. That's how contact sports work, unfortunately. It's barbaric to say it in such a point-blank term. But that is how it is. There is a reason that the entertainment dollar on them is up by this, because there is an injury risk. And they try to get these contracts locked up because there is an injury risk. It is luck. It's always going to be luck.
Even look at guys like Joe Burrow. Burrow's not taking injuries because he's taking all of these sacks. He's really not. It's more of the fluky ones. Even this one is his foot.
Last year, the wrist injury.
The wrist injury.
No, not last year, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's just throwing a football and
yeah, like,
it's kaput. He's done for the year.
He's taking all these sacks, but that's not where his injuries are coming from.
Matt Milano last year, he tackles a tackling dummy.
Yeah.
Tears his bicep.
It's a lot of it is luck. It's not really luck. It's not really the strength and conditioning department. Look, could they play a part into it? Sure. And they could play a little bit of a part of keeping guys healthy, better, you know, taking care of yourself, more nutrition and what have you.
Human physiology grows and evolves. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that, like, what's the more common injury that we're seeing these days now? Achilles.
Mm-hmm.
You see the unfortunate play where they start to run and then you see, I'm not going to describe it. What the hell am I doing here? But you see the injury happen and you just go, oh no, that's that. That's an Achilles. You know right away. We've seen enough of them now that we can diagnose it without a medical degree.
Mm-hmm.
It's luck.
It's really what it is. It is fluky. It is lucky. Let's go back to the phones. Jerry is next up. Jerry, how we doing?
Do we really realize how cool Sunday is going to be? You have Bill Saints,
yep.
Ravens, Chiefs, Cowboys, Packers, the last day of the baseball season. And if you've been following baseball, there are like 8 races going on. And the Ryder Cup single matches.
Bill Saints is like well below that, too. That's the worst part.
It's so far down on the list. I love that, Jerry.
Like, we're watching
you.
It because it's Bills fans, but it's so far down the list.
I'm like, yeah.
Is good.
Jerry's got a great point. Like, there's a hell of a docket on Sunday.
Oh, man.
And then there's Bill Saints.
And then there's Bill Saints. Thankfully, with that, though, it's at 1. So we'll all start our day with that. Hopefully, it goes super well. Even if they just win by 14 and they don't cover the spread. I know that's how high the spread is. We can all relax, enjoy it. Hopefully, there's nothing too bad. You go on to 425. You're seeing Chiefs. And ultimately, for Chiefs Ravens, too, I think there is a genuine conversation of who do you want to win more. So it's not – we're not all rooting for definitively one result. We're kind of just hate watching. We want to see how bad both of them maybe could be. Or
– go for the tie.
Go for the tie. You have the Ryder Cup going on during all of that. We'll see if Team USA is better than – isn't that the whole thing with the Ryder Cup is that the Europeans are better? So, like, I'm rooting for the USA, but, like, isn't that the whole thing? Like, I'm a little worried for Sunday. And the baseball season.
As a Jays fan, I hate this.
I said it yesterday. As an Angels fan, I'll almost always kind of step away from baseball for a little while and then come back towards the start of the playoffs or really the end of the regular season. And that's partially I root for a team that, you know, when they get 80 wins, it's a nice day. They're at like 70-something now. So I come back a little bit later, but yeah, like to Jerry's point too, like the division races, you have the one going on in the AL East now where Toronto is only the second worst collapse we're seeing currently right now. And you have, you know, the Yankees kind of really jumping forward. Boston, by the way, because of their wins against Toronto, are getting back into it. That's exciting. The Central is maybe the story in baseball right now with Detroit having about a month ago, August 25th, a 12.5 game lead in the Central. They've lost it all to Cleveland. Cleveland beat them again last night and have now completely taken first place in the AL Central.
It is getting wild there.
I think as well, too, I think I did the math correctly on this. I think they've played 23 games so far in September. They've only lost 5 of them. Cleveland is on an absolute tear. And that's something to get excited about, too. Like, two of the last 3 World Series champions have more come from you got hot at the right time. Last year ended up being Dodgers-Yankees. 2 great teams, 2 great markets, boom, they're in the World Series. But Texas and Washington was just more they got really hot at the right time. If you're a Guardians fan, you're looking at Cleveland going, this is our time. This is our time. They're not even that far out of first place in the AL. They probably won't get it just due to not enough games left. But they're on a hot streak. That's super exciting. That's a ball. And then, of course, if you're a Mets fan, tough game last night against the Cubs. I think it was in the second or the third. Scored 5 and really never looked back.
Hug your nearest Mets fan.
It's been a really, really good end of the baseball season. And Jerry's right to point out, Sunday should be a great sports day.
Sunday is a great sports day.
And on that, you get a nice little teaser, light, nice little appetizer as well for Saturday with the college football schedule. I know I brought up week 1 a lot. that was somewhat of a fail. Week one for college football was kind of ugly a little bit. The top 10 matchups were not that great. Ohio State, Texas was pretty much a bore, 14-7. Clemson, LSU. Clemson sucks, flat out.
Yeah, so they're just not good.
That ultimately didn't end up being any good. But looking at the top 25 matchup this week, you have LSU, Mississippi, Ole Miss. And if you've seen anything from this, Lane Kiffin's daughter's dating one of the LSU linebackers. That's going to be awesome. That's phenomenal. Lane Kiffin's even commented on it going, hey, it's fine. We're going to cover the spread. This is great.
We're going to cover the spread. This is great.
You have Oregon at Penn State.
Yes.
A night game at Happy Valley. Both teams have looked great. Dante Moore is one of the Heisman favorites at Oregon. He's their quarterback. That's number 6 versus number 3. I should mention LSU Mississippi. That's 4 versus 13. And then you also get Georgia Bama. Georgia hosting Alabama at 7:30 as well. There's some really,
SC
really
Illinois.
Great games.
Purdue's not playing to make me sad.
There you go.
Your impossible fight is with the Angels. Mine's with Purdue football.
But the college schedule is a great setup for what should be a great sports Sunday. And even then, too, should mention the Ryder Cup Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So you're also going to have that as well. Should be a great weekend for sports.
It is a fantastic weekend for sports, and it is going to be... Hey, you know what? And even if you are a hockey junkie, there's a Saturday Sabres preseason game for you.
That is right.
So sprinkle that in for your sports weekend as a whole.
And that'll be home versus Detroit.
Correct.
803-0550, the number to call. Pregame for tonight's game at Detroit will be at 6 p.m. with Shope and the Bulldog. Derek will take over for your in-game action at 7. Both will be right here on WGR. It is radio only, although they might be playing Detroit's video broadcast over on MSG.
Like they did on Monday with Columbus.
Haven't mentioned it. We're hoping to touch base with Sal Capaccio at around 11, talk about the Bills injury report. There was only 4 names there, but 3 players did not practice. Ed Oliver and Matt Milano, the continued representation of the did not practice. We'll get his thoughts on all of that. And, of course, still taking your calls for Sunday. Ravens, Chiefs, who do you want to win? Does it even kind of matter this early who goes to 1-3? Is it still too early to really look at potential playoff seedings? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Don't really care. It's a lot of fun. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. And this is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this, this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A little bit of Sabres news ahead of tonight's game. For the goaltenders, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen going to have his first full practice today. That, according to head coach Lindy Ruff. Also, note for your player sheets, Jiří Kulík did tweak a muscle. He is not going to play tonight. The anticipation is he's not going to play tonight. He is going to miss about a day or two. Nothing too serious. And then Georgiev will get the full game tonight in net. The last two games, the Sabres have been starter gets two periods. Devin Levi gets the third. Tonight, it's going to be Georgiev getting the full game.
Kozak going in for Kulík from what I saw as well. Man, I lost a little bit of the luster, though, for wanting to watch tonight because I really like
it is a preseason
watching
game.
Jiří Kulík.
It is a preseason game.
Yeah,
there are points to where if you get too excited to watch it, you need to reevaluate.
If you tweak a muscle, though,
right.
For a preseason game. I have to be here, Zachary.
I know,
don't
I know,
judge me.
I know.
Don't judge me. I'm not a complete sicko.
But it is still a preseason game. The expectation should always be very low.
I'm not a complete sicko, and I know that word complete is doing heavy lifting here, okay?
Doing all right.
But I did lose a little bit of the sparkle in that one of like, okay, I don't get to watch Jiří Kulík, and I like watching Jiří Kulík.
Yeah, he's one of their better young players and one of the guys they've really kind of it seems like early they've really nailed the development of him. 803-0550, the number to call. We go to Ryan next up. Ryan, how we doing?
Zach, yeah, love the show, guys.
Thank you.
I'm going to talk about KC and Baltimore game, guys. Mm-hmm. Honestly, if you guys see the schedule for this week, AFC North, all the teams, they are docked except for Baltimore. And even if Baltimore loses to KC, I think Baltimore will still win the AFC North. When you look at the AFC West, if KC loses to Baltimore, they could literally be in last place in the AFC West. That's crazy. And that would be great for the Bills, if you ask me. So that's my take on it, guys. Have a great day.
Yeah, Ryan, thanks
for
the call.
Appreciate that.
I think that's probably one of the better ways to look at it is that Baltimore probably still is going to be the favorites to win the AFC North, even if they go to 1-3, because Joe Burrow, I imagine, to be out for most of, if not the entire season, depending on where Cincinnati's at when he is healthy following that turf toe surgery. Pittsburgh is kind of, I mean, they're Pittsburgh. They're probably going to be the sixth or seventh seed. They'll win 9 to 10 games, and there they are. Now, that could lead them to winning the AFC North if Baltimore is, in fact, 1-3. And then Cleveland, who have an incredible defense and no offense at all. The same cannot be said for the AFC West.
Oh, my God. Like, if Cleveland just has a quarterback, their roster is so good.
Yeah, because, I mean, Jerry Jeudy had, what, 1,200 yards last year, and they can't get him going.
Right.
They got this Fanning kid from Bowling Green who looks very good. They really are, feels like, a quarterback away from being very, very interesting in the AFC hierarchy. But in the AFC West, Denver is trying to kind of figure their stuff out. Bo Nix is maybe having a sophomore slump of sorts. Their defense, though, is still very good. They did lose to the Chargers, though. That's going to sting them. Raiders are kind of bad. Like, good job, you beat New England, but they're pretty bad. The real star of that is the Chargers. The Chargers are 3-0 and look very convincing. This looks like Jim Harbaugh in the second year of a program. He's
right.
Won literally everywhere he's been, including all the way back at the University of San Diego. Not the Aztecs, not San Diego State, the University of San Diego. He's won everywhere he's gone. He helped build a Stanford football program that for a little while there was very good in the Pac-12. And then San Francisco. I mean, what? His first year he got to the NFC Championship after they won 6 games the year prior. He always wins wherever he goes. You can throw the cheating stuff with Michigan. That's fine. But I'm looking at the whole menu, and he's won everywhere. This kind of is continuing to point to that. And if you give him that wiggle room where he's already got, at worst, you're going to split the series with Kansas City, and then you start 1-3 and he's maybe 4-0, I would immediately say the Chargers are winning that division. I'm not saying the Chiefs aren't going to make the playoffs. I am saying, though, I can't see a Jim Harbaugh coach team losing that division. So that is maybe something to look at is that, look, the Ravens are going to win the AFC North. They'll be one of 2 through 4. But the interesting one might be, where do the Chiefs wind up there? Because of what their division looks like, even if they get Rashee Rice back. And it looks like they are going to get Worthy back. He's a full participant right. yesterday. It may not matter. They're still underdogs at home. 2.5-point dogs against the Ravens.
And that is also because the Ravens do have something that the Chiefs don't right now. Even against solid defenses, they score points.
Yeah, they can score like the wind. Their defense is, and really their secondary.
Even with getting Xavier Worthy back, can Kansas City do that?
Going to be fun to find out. 803-0550, the number to call. Sal Capaccio, maybe on the other side, we're going to find out. Stick with us. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Hour number two here on a Thursday, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging with you here on a somewhat cloudy. It's a very cloudy Thursday.
It's a dreary Thursday,
but we're gonna change that dreariness up here.
Oh
you
yeah,
hear, you hear the music, Sal Capaccio here on the Wester Hotline. Sal, good morning. How we doing?
I'm glad you said that. I didn't. I hope you didn't say like, well, we're gonna keep it going dreary with Sal.
The Yankees won. Oh, no.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Cheering. Derek, who's your baseball team? I don't
the
even
Jays.
Know if I know this.
We have the collapse
man,
has begun.
Man.
It's not a Detroit
You know what's
collapse.
Funny is I will tell you, I will tell you guys, in all honesty, like I like the Jays. I do. I root for them, like, mm-hmm. you know, to be good. I don't openly root for them. Like, go Jays. But, like, I love their personalities, obviously, with the connection here in Buffalo. I'm a big fan of a lot of their players. I'm a big Vladdy fan. Mm-hmm. You know, if it wasn't the situation these two teams are in right now, I'd be like, yeah, that's cool with the Jays, right? But, I mean, right now, I feel dirty saying it, but, oh, my God, am I a big Red Sox fan tonight?
It feels weird,
yeah,
doesn't it?
That
it feels
is,
real weird.
I think I heard the vomit in your mouth as you said that.
That's but. Right, yeah.
We had a caller, Sal, in the first hour, Jerry, bring up like just how good of a sports weekend this is. Of course, we have Bills, Saints, but then you do have the end of the baseball season and how close a lot of these divisional races are. We have the Ryder Cup. I
yes.
brought up, too, the college football schedule on Saturday. There's a lot of top 15 matchups, Georgia, Alabama, Penn State, Oregon, LSU, Ole Miss. Like, it is a really good sports weekend.
You know, it's funny about college football. So, I mean, I don't love like everything that's happened with all the changes, and partly because I'm not as into it as I used to be because you can't follow the players as much mm-hmm. for so many years and all that, right? So that's part of it. But I will say, with all of the changes with the conferences and all of the alignments and the added game, man, every week, dude, there's big games.
Oh, yeah.
Like every week there are monster games on the college football schedule that we didn't see it like this in the past.
No, I think that's right. Like, it took to like rivalry weekend, which was obviously later into the season. Of course, you'd have Texas, Oklahoma kind of in the dead middle. But yeah, a lot of the times, like, we didn't have the crazy week ones we had this year, at least the hype. The game's
right.
a little bit less so. But yeah, I mean, that's true. It leads to every Saturday. It's like, oh my God, like, I have to be home by 7:30 to watch Oregon, Penn State, which is a conference game, which is still weird, but it should be a lot of fun. We can talk a little bit more baseball here in a little bit, but Sal, of course, the big news from yesterday, 4 players on the injury report, 3 of which did not play, although it should be mentioned, Spencer Brown, who was one of the guys that did not practice, did go on One Bills Live right after practice and say, I should be good.
Yeah, his own assessment was that he felt he'd be okay to play. We'll see where it goes. Obviously, it's not up to him, really. It's up to the training staff, mm-hmm. see where he is. But that's good news. When you see calf injury for a guy that, you know, finished the game, you wonder, did something happen? But he said it kind of was – it was during the game, and he did finish. Bothered him, you know, but he should be okay. Matt Milano and Ed Oliver did not practice again. Sean McDermott sounded very optimistic about where they are right now and, you know, coming back from their – pectoral for Matt and ankle injury for Ed injuries. But we don't know yet. We'll see it practice today. There'll be no update pre-practice guys, but when they're on the practice field, we'll see if they are practicing today. I would think if somebody's not practicing today, one of these guys between Oliver and Milano, that wouldn't fare very well for them to play on Sunday, but you never know. If one of them, both of them are practicing today, I think that's a really good sign that maybe they could be available for Sunday. So we'll see about that. But I don't think there's any like long-term type of concern considering the way Sean McDermott has talked about it. The one concern I do have, this is something we'll monitor, AJ Epenesa was not listed by McDermott yesterday to be a non-participant or limited. And then we found out he was limited with a pectoral injury. Does that mean something happened? And if it did, pectoral injury, now you have to be concerned and wonder what that means. So let's just wait here a couple hours. We'll everybody can kind of stay tuned on my X feed at Sal Sports, and we'll give an update on I'll give an update on who's at practice and who isn't and who's doing what.
Sal, one of the other injury updates, obviously not on the report because he's not fully practicing yet, but Max Harrison. There were videos yesterday of him working out. He's of course got the brace on his knee, and at least from my reading and my listening of it, Sean McDermott did really want to kind of, I don't want to say really lower expectations, but did want to settle some expectations on maybe what we should expect from the first round rookie.
Yeah, I mean, he did say lower expectations, but I mean, look, I just think this is a really interesting discussion, right? Because there's just how you want to interpret what the coach said and then what you saw. There's two parts of this. So let me ask you, you guys saw the video, right? You guys saw the video of Max Harrison. What's your interpretation of what you saw in the video?
He's got a little way. He's got a little ways
because
to go.
Of the brace?
Yeah. And this is maybe not the correct way to look at it. When I see that big of a brace for a corner, I'm like, let's wait a few more weeks.
And I think that I'm pretty much in the same boat of that. It is good that he's working out more than we had seen, though, obviously, in the past weeks. But, yeah, it's going to be something where they have the luxury of they can take their time with him. And once he starts practicing, you still have 3 weeks from there then finally fully elevate him.
Yeah, so it's really interesting because when I posted the video I had yesterday, I had a lot of people say, oh, my God, look at that brace. He's nowhere close. And I don't think that's unfair. I think that's fine. My first inclination watching him was, boy, he looks pretty good for a guy wearing a brace like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the brace is on, but I thought he was moving well. I thought he was doing a lot of good exercises and, you know, using that knee and bouncing up and down on it. A lot of times the braces, big or small or whatever, are more just kind of stability, right? To make sure while you're doing it, you're not going to re-injure yourself. So I think there's a lot of ways you could look at it. I do think it's fascinating looking at that and getting the different interpretations from people. I just know I've seen guys in braces. Now, look, I see offensive linemen or defensive linemen braces. Right. That's a different deal because it's such a different position. But sometimes they play with those braces on. So I don't think the brace is the end-all be-all for me. I think how he's moving is more indicative of me, for me. But that being said, Sean McDermott did say yesterday, he used the word if. He said when and if he comes back. And again, let's go to what is the history here of how these things are treated, which is this coach always wants to play it safe and not really put huge expectations on guys recovering from injuries and being on the field any sooner than what they might normally be. And the reason is, let's just say he goes, oh yeah, he's doing really well and we expect him to come out in, you know, 3 weeks. Well, what if that 3 weeks goes and he's not on the field? Now you have more questions to answer. What happened? Did he have suffer a setback? Did the training staff not evaluate it right? So you don't put those guys in a box like that. You don't paint your own self in a corner. So my interpretation of what Sean McDermott said was, hey, he's got a ways to go here because he hasn't even been practicing for 2 months. He's doing well. He's rehabbing. Let's see where it goes here. But yeah, guys, I mean, there's a lot of open-ended questions about if he's actually going to be on the field, at what point that is, or if you get to a point where you say, you know what, he's missed so much time and Dorian Strong's playing well and you got guys, let's not do it this year. I think that could be on the table.
Sal Capace on the Westsur Hotline as the Bills were back at practice yesterday. They'll be back throughout it for the rest of the week. Sal, Tyler Bass, while there was a little pessimism and like tempering of expectations on one side, with Tyler Bass, it sounds like, at least to me, they're not planning on Matt Prater being the kicker for the season.
Right. I agree. I think it sounded to me like Sean McDermott was basically indicating that when Tyler Bass is healthy, he's the kicker. It's kind of like one of those deals where, you know, we've seen in sports, hey, when our starting quarterback's healthy, he's getting the job back. I don't care how good the backup did, right? Well, same thing here with a kicker. And guys, I mean, we've talked to Matt Prater. I've talked to Matt Prater. I think Matt Prater is very understanding of what his role is right now. His role is to do the best job he can until Tyler Bass is healthy. And I think that's just where we are right now. And I'll make another point. I said this on the pod and someone said, hey, they didn't think about that. When the weather starts to turn, I know Matt Prater has had big, long kicks in his career. He's older, too. When the weather starts to turn, you might need a stronger leg, a younger guy in Tyler Bass, to be able to make some kicks versus Matt Prater. I don't know. Is that something they're thinking about, right? I'm not saying they are or they aren't, but I just think there's a lot here. when Tyler Bass is healthy, he's going to be the kicker on this team. The question is, when is he healthy? He is in the same boat as Max Hairston. Tyler Bass is eligible to start practicing after next Sunday's game. So is Max Hairston. The Bills can also just say, you're not practicing. You're on IR until we feel that you're ready to come off IR. Whenever that is, at any point with either guy, when they step on the practice field, the team has 21 days, not weeks and bye weeks, 21 days to then put them that person on the active roster. So I think you probably look at it and go, well, let's see what the training staff says. Oh, they say he might be able to fully be functional and ready to go by this certain date. Let's work 21 days back, and that's when we should put him on the practice field.
And I wonder, too, with the bye week, being an early bye week for the Bills, there are some positives and negatives to that. I wonder, looking at Hairston, too, if that's maybe going to be his sort of saving grace there, is that they will have maybe more of a ramp-up period for him if he's healthy enough to get back on the field. Sal, I will say, I do want to jump back to Harrison's health and maybe it being a quote-unquote redshirt year for him. The Bills are getting great contributions from Jackson Hawes and Deion Walker, so I do not want to make it sound like they're not getting anything out of the rookie class. But it is a steep mountain to climb for any organization if, no fault of his own, Hairston is not able to play this year, first-round pick due to an injury. T.J. Sanders, we're having honest conversations about if when Hoyt and Ogunjobi come back, if he's an inactive. And Landon Jackson up to this point, both in preseason and training camp and into the season, has kind of been an afterthought because he really hasn't shown that he can really suit up and be an integral part of this defense, a unit that is struggling in most statistical – or in many statistical categories. It's just – it is a tough road to go for the Bills if they're really not getting much out of their rookie class, and that being the top three of their rookie class.
Yeah, and of course, right, Hairston, as you said, it's just the injury, right? But guys, I would also say, I don't think he was starting anyway, to be honest with you.
Right.
Yeah. I think Tre'Davious White would have been the starter. Now, who knows, by now maybe, we talk about, 3 weeks in, 4 weeks in, but nothing at camp indicated to me until he got hurt that he was the starting corner. That was Tre'Davious White's job. He was going to have to go take it, and maybe eventually he would have. So, you're right. Look, this is a great debate. We've talked about it this week a lot. Matt and I have had this discussion on Always Game Day. I just think there's a lot of different tentacles here, which is ideally every team wants all their draft picks to contribute immediately. Ideally, that's always the case, right? You draft a guy, especially first, second, third round, he needs to be playing. Bulldog made the argument yesterday, especially when you're trying to contend for a Super Bowl, you need those guys to contribute. I think you could look at it the other way and say, well, if you're trying to contend for a Super Bowl and you're relying on rookies to contribute, then maybe you're not as good as you think you are. I think you have to have a better roster than that. There's a couple different ways you could look at that. The question comes down to me. I've been thinking about this a lot, all right? Let's say you think Landon Jackson, it's a disappointment that he hasn't gotten a jersey yet. Let's say you think that T.J. Sanders, if all of a sudden he becomes inactive on game day, that's a super big disappointment for you, which is totally fair and fine. I think the question I have then is, whose fault is it, or who are you blaming, and what's the reason? Because are you saying that you're disappointed that the player isn't good enough? Good enough to do what? Good enough to beat out veterans who are ahead of them? That might be unfair. I don't know. Or it could be fair from you. Are you saying that you're blaming that they shouldn't have drafted that player there? That's fine too. Then who would they have taken? And would that person be playing a different on Sundays? Like if they would have taken a wide receiver in the third round, is he playing over the guys they have now? I'm not sure about that. You know what I mean? Like, I just think that there's so many ways you can kind of slice this and look at it. And I've always said, and I maintain, I think the Bills roster's good. They're a Super Bowl contending team. It's a lot harder for these guys to crack the lineup than it would be for a lot of other teams.
And it also should be noted, too, it's not that the entire rookie class is not doing anything. As previously mentioned, you know, Jackson Hawes is a revelation for them with running three tight ends and everything they're able to do.
And Dorian Strong started week one.
Dorian Strong, absolutely. And then, of course, Deion Walker, who on national shows is getting shouted out as like, hey, this is like a gem find in the fourth round for them. This is great. Sal, looking over to the Bills' opponent on Sunday, 1 p.m. kickoff against the Saints, it should be noted this is a player I was somewhat interested in if the Bills maybe wanted to go for in free agency. They ultimately fill that role with Joey Bosa, but Chase Young has not played this season yet, and he did not practice again yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I follow the reporters from the Bills' opponent to find out what's going on, and one of the things that somebody who covers the Saints wrote something along the lines of the Chase Young injury went from, oh yeah, he's going to be fine, to we have no idea when he's going to play. So I don't know what's going on there, But this is a team that went out and, yeah, this is a player that I think they really thought would be a big part of their defense and what they wanted to do. But it's not going well right now for the New Orleans Saints in a lot of ways. And that's one of the ways right now where, you know, they got a lot of points hung on them last week, obviously, by Seattle. And it could have been more. They just basically, you know, you ran them out of the building, the stadium, you know, in the first half. So that's a guy that is going to be, you know, missed for them in a game like this if he doesn't play. But I think they have a lot of just overall bigger issues, and it's more of a team that seems like they're rebuilding and resetting with a rookie head coach.
Yeah, and even then, too, we had Luke Johnson, who covers the Saints of NOLA.com, yeah, yesterday on it, and he also mentioned, too, like, they've got a young quarterback, second year, Spencer Rattler. He's 0-9, though, in his career. He hasn't even gotten his first win yet. And so, like, it kind of feels like the whole thing with the Saints is just, look, at least they're not going the veteran route where we're just going to try and make this work, and they're going to still finish with 6-7 wins. You know, with Derek Carr, you know, you're at least going that route. But we also mentioned with him, too, the big-name quarterbacks in the draft that you were looking at in the preseason all have somewhat flamed out to start this year in college. So it's the Saints are in kind of a rough spot.
Yeah, you're right. And, I mean, like, but I think that Spencer Rattler has shown me a little bit once in a while, right? I don't know if you bail on that right away, do you? I don't know. If you want to draft a quarterback, look, if you're drafting top of the draft, I guess that's your chance. You have to take a quarterback. It's what you do. It's what the Titans did with Cam Ward, right? You almost have to do it, I guess. I get that. But I also think there's something to be said for developing a quarterback, and I think Spencer Rattler has a chance to develop a little bit. And if you're not going to surround him with good talent, it doesn't matter if it's him or a first-round pick this year. You're just kind of doing the same thing, aren't you? So it's a tough call for them long-term. By the way, I found it. It was the tweet was from Chris Razvoglu. Razvoglu. I apologize if I say his name wrong. Podcaster at for the Saints, who wrote, "The Chase Young injury situation went from it's no big deal to who knows when he'll play." Man. So that's how they're looking at that in New Orleans.
That's one of like you hear that quote for any fan base, and that's the lowest you'll get. Because that's deflating as can be. I think, honestly, both for a fan base, probably for a team as well, of just like, yeah, we're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. Actually, we have no idea what's happening. I mean, that's when the next tweet, Sal, will be he's in Germany trying to get, you know, a second or third opinion. Those are one of the – Chris McCaffrey was this too, where he's fine, he's fine, he's fine. We have no idea. Now he's overseas in Europe. It's a really tough go. Sal, I do want to ask you, too, because me and Derek have been talking about it. I think it's been a topic for a lot of Bills fans the last week, and we even took a few calls on it as well. How much thought have you put into Chiefs-Ravens and who exactly you want to win that game?
Ooh, this is great. So I was actually, believe it or not, right before I went on with you guys, I was responding to a tweet I was going to put out, and I haven't put it out yet because I wanted to make sure I was doing this first, and then I could kind of make sure it looks good. So somebody asked me. Mizaster on Twitter, thank you, says, do we want, meaning the Bills fans, the Ravens or KC to win this weekend? So here's my response, and you tell me what you think about this, okay? My response is, we've debated this on pod and radio. If the Bills win, okay, you can't assume that, but you can assume it, but you know, you never know. So let's just say the Bills win. If the Chiefs then win and beat the Ravens, the Chiefs would stay two games back of the Bills, and the Ravens would be four games back. If the Ravens win, both teams would be three games back. I think that's what you want.
Okay.
Yeah. I think both teams three games back is better for the Bills than the Ravens being four and the Chiefs being two and still coming to Buffalo to play you.
I had somewhat gotten to it where I was looking at the team's divisions and how much do I believe they're going to be stuck in the mud. Like, you look at the AFC North.
I look at it, the one seed.
Yeah, Joe Burrow's out, and Pittsburgh is kind of Pittsburgh. They're kind of, at least now, traditionally the 6-7 seed. You kind of just know that. And Cleveland can't form an offense. Where the AFC West, Jim Harbaugh in year two with the Chargers, they look great. Denver probably will figure their stuff out, but they're a little not great right now. And the Raiders aren't very good. But to me, it's that Chargers point where the Chiefs, if they go to 1-3, probably are not going to be one of the top four seeds. I think there's a good chance there through 4 weeks they won't win the division, where I can't say the same for the Ravens. But I think the one seed point might also be right in that sense too, because later in the year we could have those conversations with them playing Philadelphia, who might also have the one seed locked up. hey, can we maybe start pulling back a little bit and get that needed rest the Bills haven't had the last few years in this run?
Yeah, that's right. Even last year when they rested most of their guys week 18, they had to play the next week against Denver.
Yep.
So I get that. And I think over the last few years, the Bills have gotten banged up a bit in you know, these first round games. Pittsburgh, they really got banged up a few years ago. That's when they lost a bunch of linebackers, right? And they didn't have anybody really against Kansas City that year. So no doubt that has happened. I think Gabe Davis got hurt that the game before that, I think it was, either way. But, you know, end of the year, that week 18 game, he got hurt actually against the Dolphins that the Bills won. And he missed time. By the way, just a side note, people forget, Gabe Davis is also in this same injury as everybody.
That's right.
He's on the practice squad injured. So starting next Monday, the Bills could actually put him on the practice squad and have him start practicing again. And then he would be eligible to start playing again as well. Just so everybody's aware of that. Let me ask you, I'll run this by you. Here's what Matt Bove's take was on this whole KC Baltimore thing was that I thought was interesting. I don't really agree with him, but it's what he said. He said he's going to assume Baltimore wins their division anyway.
Yeah.
He said, so he would rather have KC win because if they become a wild card, they become way more dangerous to play the Bills. I think what he's saying is he's rooting for KC to win the division so neither team's a wild card.
Because
if either team's a wild card, they could play the Bills in their first round game.
I totally get that from Matt. Like, me and Derek have talked about it. I've talked with some of my buddies about it too, where it's like, wouldn't that just be the Bills' luck where they finally get the one seed?
Sal is
still in the divisional round. They will play one of Baltimore or Kansas City because they both were not very good and were
a wild card. Sal was sitting
team.
To my right at Riverworks when I mentioned the monkey's paw one seed of, like, I don't know if Sal was actually like there yet, but like the same day at Riverworks, I brought up the monkey's paw one seed of the Bills get the one seed and Kansas City upset somebody. And who do the Bills play right away in the divisional round? Kansas City. And it's like, hello, this is I'm inevitable, like Thanos. But I do think it's going to be one of those things where Sal, I'm going to go ahead and agree about, like, not agreeing on what Bove says on this. I kind of want the Bills to be the one to put the knife in Kansas City.
You mean, like, in the playoffs?
Yes. I want the Bills.
You're rooting for the Bills to play the Chiefs in the playoffs, right?
I'm not rooting for it, but I'm not
he kinda wants
for it.
He kind of wants it.
I am rooting for
well,
it.
Well, listen, isn't the dream scenario that if we could all actually write the book, okay? If we could write the book and we knew it and whatever we write actually comes to existence, wouldn't we all say Kansas City comes to Buffalo for the AFC Championship and the Bills beat them? Of course.
The Lannisters send their regards.
Then you say, okay, close the stadium down. You slayed the dragon. The demons are gone. You beat Kansas City. You didn't have them go to four straight Super Bowls to tie your record. If we could all write the script and it would actually happen the way we wrote it, the problem is we can't write the script and we don't know. And that proposition to me still is I'd rather not play either of those teams in the playoffs, much less both in the same playoff.
Yeah, I want Colts as the 4 seed with Daniel Jones coming to Buffalo, and then I want an L.A. team coming to Buffalo in the AFC Championship. That's where I'm at. I'm not going to try to get unrealistic and be like, no, I want Jacksonville in the AFC Championship.
I mean, yeah, you want Jacksonville.
But give me the West Coast team that's in a dome coming to Buffalo for the AFC Championship, and give me Daniel Jones in the divisional round. I think for a lot of Bills fans, it's not the end all be all the matchups necessarily. I think it is much more the one seed. You get that rest. You don't get beat up in the wild card round because the Bills win that game every year, it feels like, but they seem to pick up a big injury. Not even mentioning last year, if I remember correctly, Christian Benford picks up a concussion against Denver and ultimately picks up another one again. Or no, I'm sorry, that's in the divisional round. But they've dealt with those injuries in those wild card matchups and it has hurt them enormously. And so I think I care more for that. I though, Sal, as much as I liked, and I'm sorry to bring this up because, you know, as you mentioned, you're already pained to root for the Red Sox now, but I've watched those Netflix documentaries on that 04 season with the Red Sox and how much the Yankees and Boston went back and forth and how much Boston really was kind of always the bridesmaid to them until 04. They finally got that moment. It is perfect. It is storybook. I don't necessarily need it though. I just want the championship.
Give
I don't really
me.
Care how it happens. I don't need getting past the dragon. I'm cool. I'm cool if I show up and he's already dead. I'm fine with that. Just give me the treasure. That's all I
need. I'd
just
rather play Kansas City than Baltimore at this point.
That I will agree with. Sal, I don't know about you. At Baltimore, until Derrick Henry's off that team, I fear that matchup.
I do too. I think it's just a bad matchup. It's just a bad matchup for the Bills.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, you know, that's just the way the two teams are built. I went on New Orleans radio last night with our Odyssey station there and Bobby Hebert, and he said, oh my God, he goes, I'm looking at this rush defense. It's 32nd. He's like, what is going on there? I'm like, well, what happened was they played the Baltimore Ravens, right? Yeah, no, I'm not telling you it was great. Of course, the Bills allowed those rushing yards. But, you know, this is just a bad matchup. That's what happens. The Ravens can run, and they did on the Bills because of the way that they're built. The Bills are more built to be more of a team to guard and stop the pass. And it's no excuse. You can't have 238 yards rushing. That's not something you want. No doubt about that. I'm not telling you that. But it's certainly just not the best matchup for them, the way the Ravens want to play and are built versus the way the Bills want to play and are built.
Absolutely. All right, Sal, we've kept you more than long enough. Thank you for jumping on with us this morning. We'll let you get ready for practice today, and we'll talk again soon, man.
Okay, you got it.
Thanks, Sal.
They're on the West Her Hotline. Sal will also be back on for the Extra Point Show tomorrow, where he'll be talking with Bills head coach Sean McDermott. We'll hopefully get even more of an injury look at the Bills heading into the weekend. 803-0550, the number to call. I want to jump on the show talking Ravens Chiefs, who you want to win that Sunday. I think it's a really, really good conversation to have. And funny enough, I mean, we're having these playoff discussions. Week 4 feels crazy, but it is sort of the life the Bills live right now. Again, number to call, 803-0550. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Hour number 2 continues to roll along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer with you here on a Thursday morning. We got the Sabres tonight, 6 p.m. pregame, 7 p.m. puck drop, both going to be right here on WGR. We've also got Thursday night football, Seattle and Arizona, both off to an interesting start of the year. Sam Darnold looks to be last year's Sam Darnold in Arizona's winning games. Marvin Harrison might be bad. That's going to be over on our sister station, the Bet 1520. He might be.
Damn.
He might be. Did you see the drop?
Yeah.
Wide open? Come on, man.
He's got some problems. I mean, even Ohio State fans I'm seeing are like, this is not the same Marvin Harrison. What happened?
No, that is absolutely true. And he is really – what's going to be crazy, and I'll feel bad. I'm not rooting for the guy to fail by any means, but – like, Ohio State and LSU have kind of become, like, the draft their receiver no matter what. Like, even if it's, like, a fourth-round flyer on an LSU or Ohio State, you just do it. Like, they're going to be solid. He's really testing that, and he's, like, the best one of the group. In college, he was a demon. But they're squaring off tonight. I believe kickoff is 8:15 over on Amazon Prime, and as I mentioned, our sister station, the Bet 1520. We talked about Chiefs. Ravens, the Sunday, 4:25 in Kansas City. Kansas City's a home dog for that game as well. Very interesting. We were able to mention the Chargers there. They're 3-0. I think for many of us, the belief is if Kansas City loses, the Chargers will go on and win that division, and the Chiefs will be looking at it as a wild card team. At what point do we have to start putting thoughts into Indianapolis with how bad the AFC South is?
I think that that's a good question, and I do think we've got ourselves a pretty good timeline on that. Sunday.
Playing the Rams.
Rams have a solid group there. Not perfect. Obviously, they lost against the Eagles in a very frustrating way. But if you can get by the Rams defense that has been tough to play against, can you deal with it? Can you put up points? Can you be productive? Can you slow down Puka Nacua?
Yeah, that's going to be more one. It's still stunning the Rams lost that game. They were up, what, 26-7 and ultimately don't score another point.
Yeah.
It's 26 unanswered from Philly to win that game. Of course, one of them being a blocked kick returned for a touchdown. But still, I mean, they dominated the second half of that game and ultimately win it. You look at the Colts, though, just looking for points for, points against. They're second in the league in points for, 103.
Mm-hmm.
Points against, their ninth in the league, giving up just 56. This is a good roster. The fear with them and the uncertainty with them was just how bad would the quarterback position be. We talked about it once Daniel Jones was named the starter. Of, hey, maybe you should just be going with Anthony Richardson. Daniel Jones is probably the worst option in the sense of you're not going to learn anything and you'll be bad.
It was me. I said these things.
I can tell you, though, just through 3 weeks, the opposite has been true. He has been phenomenal. Jonathan Taylor is leading the league in rushing, and they're getting a lot from all of their receivers. Tyler Warren, as a rookie tight end, is second in receptions. Michael Pittman has 16 already. They've got Josh Downs going. Alec Pierce is a thing. I mean, he's always been a thing. He's a deep threat.
Mm-hmm.
They're just really making it work. And then, as I mentioned there, with their defense, they're not having really much of an issue at all. They're stopping teams from scoring. They're not playing necessarily great teams, but they're blowing them out.
Right.
And then last week, they get the win over Denver. And oh, no, excuse me, not Denver. They get the blowout win over Tennessee. And they're able to just kind of put their foot down and go. And their schedule does point to they might be able to go on a bit of a run here if you believe they're legit. You've mentioned that they're playing the Rams this week. It's at L.A. It's not really much of a home field advantage, but I don't really necessarily know how much Colt fans travel. So it might be more of a L.A. fan base. But even if they lose that game to go to 3-1, next up is Vegas at home. Then Arizona at home. Those two are probably very winnable games. If not, they're going to be outright favored in them, both right at home. At the Chargers, that should be a fun game. It's in the middle of the Bills' bye week, 4:05 game at L.A. That's probably going to be another one of those games we're all talking about bye week of. We're watching, and who do you want to win that? Who do you think won't be able to keep going in the one-seed race, potentially? Then you get Tennessee at home, at Pittsburgh, and Atlanta at home before their bye week. That is a really nice schedule for them. And in a division that is really bad.
Yeah, especially because of the fact that last year's winner and probably your presumptive favorite over the past couple of years is 0-3.
Mm-hmm.
The Texans not only are 0-3, they look disjointed, particularly on the offensive line. Again. And CJ Stroud has been affected.
Yeah, when you trade away the entire offensive line and can't really rebuild it, this shouldn't be surprising.
Right.
Boy, is it bad.
You would have even thought that maybe there might be this like addition by subtraction, and no, that's not what's happened at all. And it just gets to a point where I don't know what you do. But it's been a disaster for the Texans in that part where CJ Stroud is a shell of himself right now from what he was in his rookie year. And now I think that... Like, you look back on, like, how in his second year, Stroud's, like, making waves with, like, the podcast where he puts himself in the top five.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, like, there's no Josh Allen or Joe Burrow in there, for example. The win against the Bears where he's telling Caleb Williams, yeah, learn from this. Learn from this game.
Acting like he's the vet.
Acting like he's a vet when he's in his second year.
they're not both really young guys.
Yeah, and... Now you're looking at it and going, they've ruined him.
Yeah, the regression has been very aggressive. I mean, to the point now, yeah, they're 0-3. I like D'Amico Ryans a lot in his first year and what they were able to do. I still like the defense a ton.
Yeah, the defense is good.
But they also seem to play with their hair on fire in both a negative and a positive sense. They take a lot, or they did at least last year. I haven't checked this year, but they take a lot of penalties. And... They do look really disjointed in most units. The offense, though, in particular, looks terrible. The Jacksonville game, Jacksonville-Houston, this past Sunday, was nearly unwatchable. I was enjoying it because of how bad it was, and there was some entertainment to that, but it was horrendous to watch both those teams play. And those are thought to be maybe two of the favorites in that division. Jacksonville getting Travis Hunter. You've got Liam Cohen. Maybe he's going to unlock...
Spending a first-round pick to make that move.
Yeah. Maybe he's going to lock Trevor Lawrence. You've already got Brian Thomas Jr. Like, here come the Jaguars, especially when you look at Houston's offensive line. Oh, but wait, but Houston still has C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins. That defense is awesome. Derek Stingley and their edge rushers. Nope, it's the Colts. And the Colts really in that division are the only team that doesn't look lost. I think this is a lot of credit as well to their head coach, with Shane Steichen, who might be one of those like Kevin O'Connell, Matt LaFleur kind of head coaches where – he may not need the all-world quarterback to make – he would like the all-world quarterback, but he may not need it to make it work.
I was going to turn this over to Chris Ballard. There's one position he has not figured out yet, and it's the most important position in football. That said, the man can build a roster.
The Colts have a talented roster. What they don't have is a quarterback. And over the past few years, past 9 years? It's been rent a QB.
Yeah, since Luck's retirement.
Since Luck's retirement, it's been basically rent a quarterback. Then they actually try to invest a high pick into one, and quite frankly, it's just the wrong one.
Mm-hmm.
This may not be Shane Steichen being a Kevin O'Connell type. It may just be just how much Anthony Richardson was not it.
And that Daniel Jones is?
It's not even that Daniel Jones is.
Or that Richardson really...
It's that Richardson really just was not it. The Colts are a good team that need a quarterback that has better than a 40 completion percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, and you brought up the too high safety look. I mean, like the fact that the deep ball has really been taken away. Richardson couldn't go the intermediate and short routes. That was his big thing that he... The Colts during camp were releasing those like fun videos to get you hyped up. For Richardson, it wasn't bombs. It was that he was completing a dump off.
Yeah.
Like that's what was supposed to get fans excited. Where Jones, you also wonder too, we've seen some of these... You know, rebirths, these you know, rebuild projects from these quarterbacks who were previously thought to be busts. Sam Darnold last year becomes a 4,000-yard passer, and he looks really darn good in Seattle right now. Geno Smith is kind of that first guy to do it. Maybe Daniel Jones is the next where, hey, the Giants put a terrible roster around me. I just need a good coach and a good roster. Here you go.
What was the New York Giants problem over the past couple of years? And it still is one of their biggest problems.
Their offensive line is awful.
You've drafted Eric Flowers. You've had Bobby Hart on your roster. There's another one, Evan Neal.
Yeah.
They have just been bad at drafting offensive linemen and tackles in particular. Andrew Thomas looks pretty good, but he's hurt a decent amount.
All pro from a few years ago, but yeah.
But, you know, he's at least good. But you've set your franchise back because those are offensive linemen, though. They're playing with Daniel Jones. And... Now, all of a sudden, you have the Colts, who quietly, over the past few years, they've assembled one of the better rosters and better offensive lines in the game. And that's been known for years, at least, though, for the Colts. They have one of the better offensive lines in the game. They had an off year a couple years back, and you're like, okay, what happened there? Well, they fixed it. Daniel Jones has an offensive line. Probably for the first time ever. The man played at Duke. I'm not going to go ahead and accuse Duke of having big boys that know what they're doing.
No, they spent a lot of money this year in the NIL. It's not gone great.
And Duke historically is not a program that is going to get the big beefy boys. That's Big Ten ball right there.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Jones might have an offensive line for the first time since like high school.
Might.
A good offensive line.
He's looked very good. I wanted to really kind of pump the brakes on it initially. And I mean, if you've listened to the reverse AFC power rankings with Chauvin the Bulldog, I was very adamant. I can't really believe in a Daniel Jones-led team being very good. He's kept it going. Are they beating bad teams for the most part? Yes, they do have that win against Denver in week two. That was a close win.
I was going to say, but so are the Bills.
Mean, you know, yeah. But like we brought up yesterday, the Bills do have that credibility. They've had the years building up of like, all right, I know Josh Allen's very good. I know McDermott's a good coach. Like they're going to be there. The Colts don't necessarily have – Daniel Jones certainly does not have that.
Right.
Maybe they're starting to build that. I just – We talk a lot about Chiefs and Ravens, but one of them is going to be 1-3. And there's a darn good chance that both the Colts and the Chargers are 4-0, potentially with the Bills also being 4-0. Then the one seed conversation after the first months of the season quickly changes to who cares about Baltimore and Kansas City? It's these three.
And Sunday could go a long way for the credibility of the Colts. The Rams are a tough test.
Taking on the Rams, Sean McVay, Matthew Stafford on the road. Yep. You beat them. I think many people, including myself, would probably start to look at them and go.
You start taking them seriously after that.
803-0550, the number to call. Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour with Sabres playing preseason game number 3 tonight at Detroit. We'll wrap up the show when we come back. You're listening to WGR.
As Wilson. Keep it alive. The game's final play is a Wilson lob to the end zone, which is fought for by Tate with Jennings simultaneous. Who has it? Who are they giving to? Touchdown! One guy goes up, touchdown. The other said no time.
This is deciding who wins the game on this
call.
Further
ado, call on the field stands. Touchdown.
Seahawks win in the most bizarre finish you'll ever see.
Mike Tirico there on the call 13 years ago. The Fail Mary game between the Seattle Seahawks and the Green Bay Packers. Happy 13-year anniversary. We were talking Russell Wilson yesterday.
Yeah, so it's relevant.
This is one of his early iconic moments. I think it's his second year. 14-12 win over Green Bay. This is the replacement refs, and this pretty much put the nail in the coffin of we need to get the refs back.
We need
back
to get the guys back.
Because this was bad.
The Fail Mary, I love the other nickname it has called the Inaccurate Reception.
Inaccurate Reception's fantastic.
I feel like that should be the name
of
it.
That's so much better than Fail Mary. Inaccurate Reception is so good.
But the best part is that there is a blatant offensive pass interference by Tate in the end zone. Golden Tate just two-hand shoves the corner in front of him, and no flag is thrown there, which is already weird, you know. And then one calls for a touchback, one calls for touchdown, and they have to converge on this and talk it all over. Oh, by the way, there's no video review at the time, like for all scoring plays automatically get reviewed. They just trot off the field.
That's good. That's really good.
Well, I mean, they go through everything and then it's just, hey, this is what it is. Touchdown. And then peace. We're out of here.
I do remember the reactions after this game was immediately, we need to get the officials back. This cannot go on.
And 2 days later,
back. And this was a week three game. I mean, that's why it's 13 years ago today. It's a week three game. But through the first 2 weeks, it was not good. For most of week three, it was really not good. And then, of course, you have this, and it is sort of that perfect culmination of, no, this cannot continue. It is fun to look back, though, at the rosters. Cedric Benson, rest in peace, is the leading rusher for the Green Bay Packers with 45 yards and a touchdown. This is, you know, peak Aaron Rodgers, you know, at the peak of his powers. These two teams will end up meeting in an NFC title game in Seattle where Russell Wilson, I think, throws four or five picks, and they still win because the Packers could not score touchdowns.
Do you know the best part about this?
What is it?
The Packers have to return to the field.
Oh,
after
really?
This play. They had not gotten rid of the mandatory conversion attempt on that. Because the Packers would have been able to block and return it to win the game. So they do have to trot out a PAT for this to happen.
That's a shame. Yeah, crazy game. 13 years ago today, I still remember, like, again, it was less the game I remember itself and much more of the afterwards and how everyone was upset. I can't remember exactly when all the officials returned. Was it the next week or was it like 2 weeks after or something like that? It was very soon after this, but man, what a game. There are a few of those Hail Mary moments, though. Of course, Bills fans have theirs negatively with the Arizona Cardinals, but even last year we saw
the Jets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But even last year we did see, though, Washington and Chicago. Chicago's season goes into a tailspin, and really the legend of Jaden Daniels for his rookie year, at least,
it begins
forms there, and they just go on a heater
that's
the rest
right
of the year.
The Bears were going to win that game and instead go on, what was it,
was
like
an awful 12-game
game losing streak or something? It was an absolute tailspin to end the year.
Something like that. I mean, yeah, they were 4-2 at that point. I mean, they had a winning record. They were good. Not good, but you could really be excited about the year. They go into a tailspin, Washington off to the races. Speaking of Washington, Jaden Daniels was limited yesterday in practice as he is looking to make his return. They did win, though, with Marcus Mariota in at quarterback, so Washington keeping that going. And then, as we have been saying, the Sabres are in action tonight. Pre-game for that with Shopin the Bulldog will be at 6 for a 7 p.m. puck drop. That game is going to be radio only right here on WGR. But for more on tonight's game, do stay tuned as coming up next after a quick timeout. Sabres Live is on the way. This is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered.
Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.